This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. This morning, a pair of devastating attacks hit Iran's capital city, Tehran. The attackers stormed Iran's national parliament and targeted the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini. At least 12 people are dead. Attacks like this in Iran are quite rare. What could this mean going forward? Let's discuss it with Robin Wright, an analyst and joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center. She is the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World, and a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Robin, welcome to 1A.
Great to be with you.
Put in context for us just how rare these kinds of attacks are. I can't think of the last time I heard of anything like this attack in Iran.
Well, there have been sporadic incidents like the demonstration that in front of the Saudi embassy. There have been little incidents. Not since the early days of the revolution have you seen this kind of real major attack. In 1981, there was a bombing by an Iranian opposition group that killed 73 prominent members of the ruling party, including 27 members of parliament. But again, those were in the very early turbulent days of the revolution.
You said 1971.
Sorry, 1981.
Oh, 1981. Beg your pardon, 1981. By the way, I should note, we are going to be discussing the attack in Iran just for the first part of this program before we move on. So if you have questions or thoughts about the attack in Iran, please do let us know. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org. Comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. Robin Wright, I know the details of this are moving really fast and they'll update as the day goes on, but have we heard anything so far in terms of who is behind this?
Well, a video has been released of the attack inside Parliament by Amaq, which is the news agency of the Islamic State, and the Islamic State has claimed credit for it, in effect. The Iranian hardliners have blamed the United States and particularly Saudi Arabia. The attack comes at a time of increasing tension between Iran and its neighbors in the Persian Gulf. So there may be a little bit of rhetoric thrown in, but the early indications are that this may be indeed the Islamic State, a first of its kind by the Islamic State against Iran.
First ever attack against Iran by the Islamic State.
That's right. The Islamic State did get close to the Iranian border in 2014 as it swept across Iraq. It came within 25 miles of the Iranian border. And it was one of the reasons, the primary reason, that Iran and its Revolutionary Guard unit deployed so quickly in assisting with military advisors and equipment, the Kurds in northern Iraq to fight ISIS and to prevent it from taking more territory. One of the northern cities in Iraq, Erbil, looked like it might be taken over by ISIS. And the Iranians were the first to aid Iraq at a time that the greatest threat to modern Iraq.
Why has Iran been somewhat spared from attacks by ISIS up to this point?
Well, security is very tight in Iran, and it has been, its security forces are pervasive, both its formal security forces and its informal Basij, the paramilitary volunteers that kind of report on what's going on within society. It's been very difficult for opposition groups to do much of anything in recent years. And, you know, ISIS has not wandered that far. Remember, there are some very deep differences between the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Islamic State. One is predominantly Shiite in Iran. The ISIS is purely Sunni. They have operated in different geographic territories, ISIS in Iraq and Syria, and they have not managed to get that much closer to Iran. So there have been a lot of reasons. ISIS has had its hands full. It's in some ways very unusual that it would attack Iran at this time, given the pressure it's under inside its own territory.
Can you get a little bit deeper into the Sunni-Shia aspect of all of this? I know sometimes when we talk about Muslim sects and how that plays into the geopolitics of the Arab world, it gets very confusing very quickly. But the the fact of Iran being predominantly Shiite Muslim and the Islamic State being a Sunni Muslim extremist group or claiming Sunni Islam for its ideology, that factors into this too, doesn't it?
It does. And Iran actually converted to Shiism 5 centuries ago because it feared the onslaught of this an expanding Sunni empire called the Ottoman Empire. And so it decided to create a different identity that would make sure that its people were not attracted to siding with the Ottomans or joining the Ottomans or paying tutelage to the Ottomans. And it was a political decision. And so at this juncture, 5 centuries later, you see the ongoing tensions between Sunni and Shiite playing out in the tensions in the Gulf. And in the issue of what is a viable or legitimate Islamic state, Iran is a modern republic. It has a constitution. Its laws are based on French and Belgian law with an Islamic veneer. And it is very 21st century. The Islamic State, on the other hand, believes in going back to the ways, whether it's dress or rule, of Islam and when it was founded in the 7th century. So they are rivals in terms of sex, they are rivals in terms of political vision, and they are in many ways the epitome of the tensions between Shiite and Sunni in the Middle East.
The latest tensions that we've been hearing about in the Middle East have to do with Qatar and some of the pressure that's been put on Qatar by Saudi Arabia and Egypt and others to change its ways, particularly what they claim is Qatar's support of extremism. Does this factor into that? Is this all kind of part of the same continuum of issues, or is this attack on Tehran something different?
Well, the attack looks like, in this very early stage, like it may be a different set of factors. But it does come at a time of growing tension in the Middle East over sectarian issues that pit the Sunni conservative sheikhdoms in the Persian Gulf against predominantly Shiite Iran. And this plays out in the tensions over Qatar, which has been more realistic, let's say, or its policy is real politic in dealing with Iran, its neighbor. They share the world's largest gas field. There have been, you know, economic relations. The Qataris have not been as hard line in calling for, whether it's for regime change or trying to limit Iran's influence in the Persian Gulf. And the other sheikhdoms have taken a very tough stand now, claiming that the government in Doha, the capital, is too compliant. It's supporting extremism or supporting Islamic ideologies. And so it's now there are now 6 countries that are trying to isolate Qatar physically, politically, and limit its ability to operate. 40% of its food comes from Saudi Arabia. So this is a real crisis for that little country.
Let's go back to Iran for a second. What have we heard from President Hassan Rouhani, who was just reelected in Iran? Has his government responded to this? Have they promised to step up patrols or surveillance, or what's the response been like there?
Well, the Iranians have claimed that they prevented a third attack. It has not provided details. You can expect that the same kind of response that played out in London over the last 2 weeks will play out in Iran. There will be, manhunts, sweeps throughout the country looking for where are the operating cells, who are they, who's supporting them, how large are they, how much of a threat. This comes at a very difficult time in Iran. They've just, as you pointed out, had a pivotal presidential election, but there are still very deep divides between the kind of centrist government of President Rouhani and hardliners in the Revolutionary Guards. And that's reflected in this early stage in pointing at who might be responsible for these attacks.
I know our time is short, but do you see Iran as the kind of a nation that the Islamic State could actually influence? As you said, it is a fairly stable government, and maybe that's why it's been able to stave off some of these attacks. How much of a threat does the Islamic State pose to Iran, really?
Very little, but look, the Islamic State poses a threat to the entire world in terms of its ability to carry out extremist attacks. And so Iran is as vulnerable as London or the United States. These, you know, where you have a small group of people who blend into the woodwork. What's really shocking, I've been to Parliament, I've been to the shrine to Ayatollah Khomeini many times, and security is really tough, particularly at Parliament. And it's quite shocking to me that a number of operatives were able to penetrate Parliament, open fire, and kill people. This is it's quite surprising.
Before we let you go, we got one quick comment from a listener near Raleigh, North Carolina. Rocky in Garner, North Carolina tweeted, "The IS attack in Iran could have been an opportunity for the U.S. to ask Iran for help in defeating IS, but Trump's rhetoric precludes it." Briefly, do we know how President Trump might respond to this?
No, but I suspect it would be very different from what President Obama would say. This is ironically the one area that the United States and Iran share in common. They both are committed to defeating ISIS. They see it as the gravest international security threat. And this is one area in which there is the potential for some kind of cooperation. Whether that will happen, slightly doubtful.
Well, we'll keep following this story, and you'll hear more developments on this here on your NPR member station. Robin Wright is with the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center. Robin, I appreciate your time. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
We'll shift gears after a short break. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.